This is Marginalia, a production of KMUW Wichita.
Marginalia. Notes in the margin of a book.
Notes, commentary, and similar material written in the margin of a book.
Comments and notes which are incidental
or additional to
the main topic in the margin of a book.
Call me Ishmael. Even if you haven't read it, you're probably aware that that is the first line of Herman Melville's Moby Dick. And it's also the name of a project, a book project, founded by Steph Kent and Logan Smalley. It started as a voicemail project and moved on to rotary phones and now a phone book. I'm Beth Golay, this is Marginalia, and here's our conversation. You know, I first became aware of the Call Me Ishmael project in 2015, but our listeners might not know what it is. So can you tell us the origin story?
Yeah, absolutely. So Steph, my partner, and I were at a bar in the West Village. It's a known literary bar called the White Horse Tavern. Dylan Thomas used to hang out there, and Bob Dylan, and all sorts of literary figures. And we were having a beer and discussing our favorite first sentences in literature. And of course, one of the most notable first sentences, "Call me Ishmael," which is the first sentence of Moby Dick, came up. And we had had enough beers to realize that there was kind of a funny pun when viewed through a modern lens of, you know, what if call was taken as like a phone call? So call me Ishmael. And we said, what if we gave Ishmael a phone number? What would people call him about? And we invited people to call and leave messages about books that they love and how those books impacted their lives.
Yeah, so we set up this voicemail machine. Like what we said, we sent it to a couple of great readers that we knew. And the messages that we got right off the bat were really incredible. They were not so much summaries of books or reviews of books, but really personal stories about the literature that impacts people's lives and their personal experiences with books. So we started sharing them online and quickly started getting calls from people we didn't know and started getting more and more calls from people all over the world. And from there, we started sharing more of the calls online. And then this last year, we decided to turn the project, which, like I said, we've been sharing as online videos, into a book. And so that's where we are today.
And now in between time, I think I saw, I know I saw on your website, the phones. How did that progress? And can you talk a little bit about those rotary phones that were designed for this?
Yeah, well, as you can imagine from, you know, starting a project that begins with a voicemail box and now having our book, which is designed like an old telephone directory, you can probably tell that we really love retro technology. So another iteration of that is a project that we have ongoing. It's called the Call Me Ishmael phone. And essentially, we took these old rotary payphone replicas and we gut them, we rewire them, and turn them into these kind of magical literary listening devices. So essentially, anybody who sees one of these, and they're in places like bookstores and libraries and schools and museums, if you come across one and you pick up the receiver and dial a number on the phone, you'll hear somebody talk about their favorite book. So it's just this kind of cool off-screen way of experiencing our calls.
I loved that. And I loved how everything was just tying together. So you did mention the book, which is why we're talking here today, this phone book. And so it has a layout similar to like Yellow Page ads of the past. But there are different types. There are several types of listings in this book, aren't there?
Yeah, there's we've just been so lucky to collect thousands of people's stories about the books that they love. And you can imagine anytime there's a thousand of anything, the diversity of stories that we have is incredible. We've got people calling about how the dictionary changed their life in seventh grade, or how the Little Prince helped them understand the challenges of having a premature baby, or how, you know, I could go on and on. And in being so lucky to receive those stories, our big question is, how do we get these stories in front of more book lovers? And so first it was our website, then it was our Call Me Ishmael phones, and now it's the Call Me Ishmael phone book. So like you said, you open it and you can browse it and you'll see thousands of calls organized in really, you know, sort of interesting categories and a number of other things inside the book. But certainly the core feature is short codes that you can actually dial. So you would dial Ishmael's number and then you would dial an extension and you would hear one of the stories that we collected.
I've been dialing away. Have you seen my number show up? Like yesterday, I kept seeing. I just kept seeing it in the news cycle when somebody said Orwellian. She just kept saying Orwellian. So I'm like, okay, I'll dial 1984. I'll see what shows up. But then I was also interested. I loved that you list, or there's a listing for independent booksellers, bookstores in each state. And you also include interviews with those booksellers. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So the way that came about is actually kind of an interesting story. So, you know, we had these thousands of calls and we knew we wanted to share them as a book. And so, you know, formatting them in this way that's like an old telephone directory was perfect because we were like, oh, this is great. It's going to be a reference for anyone who wants to find a book that they love. But what else about phone directories can we sort of take into our book and adapt to be sort of like a literary interpretation of a phone book? And so we actually got our hands on a couple of copies of telephone directories, which I have to say is very hard to do. They're hard to come by now, printed telephone books. But as we started like reading these old phone books to try and find other ideas, we, you know, couldn't help but notice that other than the phone numbers, the other thing you really use those books for is to find places. And so when we started thinking about literary places we could feature, you know, we started thinking about, oh, are there any really famous, beautiful libraries we should have in there? Are there museums and monuments to American writers? And so we featured those. But of course, you can't talk about a bookish place without talking about the best bookish places, which are independent bookstores. So there are two ways that we hope really honor and show how much we celebrate and love independent bookstores. One is the checklist in every state. So we did our best to find a list of all of the independent bookstores by state, and they're listed off in there with little check boxes so you can try and visit them all. And then we also really wanted to feature some of the stories of the people behind these amazing shops. So I actually spent this summer calling and interviewing one independent bookstore owner in every single state in the country. So as you can imagine, it was basically the coolest project ever to work on, because I was just talking to these people who have the best job, and I learned so much about the work they do. I totally encourage people to listen to a couple of those interviews just to really understand how important independent bookstores are and how just rooted in their communities they are. They're so incredible.
So tell me, how many calls, you know, since you started this project, how many calls have you received? How many calls have been listened to? And how did you decide what to include in the book?
We've received thousands of calls, and they've been listened to over a million times. And how we determine what to feature in the book is almost impossible to answer. I can tell you what we used to determine it was thousands of post-it notes, yarn, a giant whiteboard. You know, if you saw our apartment, we live together in Manhattan. Our apartment is just covered in book paraphernalia and like organizing principles that came to be our Call Me Ishmael phone book. But basically, you know, we're interested in sharing people's stories about how books define our lives and how our lives define books.
So do you have any favorite messages?
We do. It is a really hard question because it changes all the time. Like, there are ones that I just sort of get into the habit of listening to over and over again. But right now, I've been getting a lot of joy out of listening to one of our calls about the dictionary, like the Merriam-Webster dictionary, which is actually one of the more popular books that we get calls about, believe it or not. And I won't give it away, but it's really this beautiful story about somebody talking about being a young child in school and having their heart broken the first time and trying to understand this terrible feeling and actually turning to their dictionary and looking up the word heartache and trying to put some sense behind it.
Yeah. I also, it's hard to give an exact answer. There's one about the house on Mango Street. Right, Steph?
Yeah.
By Sandra Cisneros, that just the candor of the caller, you know, we don't know who calls us, it's anonymous calls, but the candor of the caller, the person sounds so infectious with joy about the book. It's just one of my favorite ones, like sonically, and she just talks about seeing herself represented in a book. So I really love that one. But another set of content that I really love is sometimes we partner with organizations or people or, you know, authors or book lovers, where a person with an audience prompts their audience to call Ishmael about a specific topic. So one time we worked with a science YouTuber named Joe Hansen of It's Okay to Be Smart, and he asked his audience to call in about books that changed their view of the natural world. And we just got this really amazing response from that prompt that was quite different than what, in general, as you might imagine, people tend to call more about fiction than nonfiction. And I read more fiction than nonfiction myself, but it was really cool to suddenly get this rush of nonfiction stories, especially, you know, science stories. You know, I've read more books about black holes now than I thought I ever would. And, yeah.
Can I mention one more favorite?
Yeah.
This is how we could go on about these for days, but this week is the week before the Thanksgiving holiday, and it always makes me think about traveling during this time. And we actually have a section of our phone book that features stories about airports, and we get a lot of calls about books discovered in airports, the books that people read while they're on airplanes. And there's this one about a book called Cutting for Stone by Abraham Verghese, and it's so wonderful. It's just like the best mix of a great experience with a book that you love, a wonderful serendipitous experience with a fellow traveler who was a stranger. It's absolutely worth the listen.
Yeah.
Have you read that book?
I have not, but you know, the funny thing about working on this project is every single book that we get a call about, like, turns into my like to be read list. So I've had a copy of it for several years now, but I haven't made it. Have you?
I have. And actually, I struggled with it. I was working at Watermark Books back when that book came out, and I was struggling getting into it. And there were these ladies who would, they had this coffee clutch. They would come into the cafe every day, and they asked me how it was coming. And I said, I'm sticking with it, but I don't know. And this one woman says, oh, just make it until you meet Ghosh, then you'll love it. Just give it about 400 pages. And I thought, holy cow. But now, ever since then, whenever I see a copy of Cutting for Stone, I buy it so I can give it to somebody else.
Oh, wow.
Okay. That is a Call Me Ishmael story in and of itself. You have to call and record that one for us. It's really lovely.
Do you have any we can listen to right now?
What we'll play now is one of our favorite ones about Pride and Prejudice, and it's under the category of two categories in the book. One is libraries, and the other is love.
Hi, Ishmael. I just read for the first time Pride and Prejudice by Jane Austen. And it was actually this amazing experience. I was sitting in the library, big chips by my side, and this guy, he just walked up to me, some random old dude, and he just sat down, totally enthralled, and he just said, "You're reading Pride and the Prejudice?" And he just started to go off and telling me about how no young people take and appreciate books with quality, books with meaning anymore. And he started to talk about how him and his wife met because she was carrying a stack of books home and she dropped one, and it was Pride and Prejudice. He told me this beautiful love story, and then he just got up and left. He said goodbye, and I just thought that should be shared.
Yeah, that's amazing. I love that.
Yeah, it's fun,
right?
We love that one. We love that one because it's just, you know, it's light, it's bright, but it's kind of, if you really think about it, it's like a little microcosm of Jane Austen's Pride and Prejudice, right? Like this guy, kind of cantankerous, as she describes, old dude, walks in and sort of grumpily, like Mr. Darcy, explains the world to this young person, but they end up having a great relationship. And then, of course, it's a love story about how he met his wife in a library. I don't know. I just, that one just gets better and better every time I hear it. And that's one of thousands.
Have you ever recorded your own? Have you ever called Ishmael?
We have. I'm hesitant to claim mine because one of them is really personal. But yeah, once you, I think one of the interesting things about the project and therefore the book is that it sort of makes you look at books differently. Like, you know, a lot of really voracious readers like to use trackers like Goodreads.com to, you know, try and read as much as they can. And that's a really wonderful way to challenge yourself. But I think there's something really cool about Call Me Ishmael and the way that we share books and recommend books, which is it makes you sort of reflect on your experience and your relationship with a book versus whether or not you've just kind of like ticked it off of your list. So once you start thinking about what happened to you, where you are, what in your life this book related to, you kind of read differently. So now everything that I read, I want to call about, but our callers are much better storytellers than I am. So thankfully I refrained.
Yeah. I was trying to think. I definitely called one. I can't remember if I de-anonymized myself when I called, but I called about Ulysses, and it was because it was right. Like that book's, you know, a work of genius, and I think everyone agrees, but it's also a real slog. You know, it's like one of the most difficult books to read. And I actually read it sip by sip when I was a bartender at an Irish pub all throughout college. So Ulysses was actually on the wall, a poster of that recognized the book and had various quotes and stuff. And so it sort of brought me into the book. And so I got my own copy of it and kept it behind the bar. And whenever there was downtime, I would read like one paragraph a day. And while I was rolling silverware and, you know, stuff like that. And so that was a pretty neat time, a neat reading experience. So I called in about it.
How long did that take you?
Years. Definitely years. Yeah. I mean, you know, and I don't even think anyone's ever truly finished that book except for the ones who are scholars and like truly study it. Like, I think I finished it, but, you know, your eyes kind of glaze over in some parts. And in some parts, it's amazing. I would highly recommend it, but, you know, maybe do take it in and sips at a bar with a pint that helps.
That gives me hope for infinite jest.
Yeah.
Oh, me too. I've been carrying that around. Well, not carrying it because it's massive, but I've had it next to my bed for years and I just haven't found my rhythm yet.
So, you know, I went to your website and I watched a few of the YouTube videos, the one about the phone, the one about this book. How large is your team? I mean, it started with just the two of you, but I mean, it feels like this is a large endeavor, a huge endeavor.
We're both smiling so hard right
now. Yeah, we have a couple of really great folks that jump in to help us on some special projects. Our great friend and good reader, Sam Johnson, the wonderfully talented Julia Barrett, but for the most part, it is just the two of us, and it's a lot of work, but luckily it's such a joy to work on. We both just really feel a lot of gratitude that we get to spend time thinking about this. So yeah,
it's like nights and weekends are dedicated to Ishmael's answering machine. And you know, one other thing I wanted to add, just because I feel like it's so germane to this conversation, is there's a section in the Call Me Ishmael phone book about marginalia.
Oh.
So people call in stories about books where they've discovered various, you know, versions of marginalia. We're trying to pull it up right now in our book.
Yeah, and that was actually one of the harder sections to narrow down. You asked such a good question about how we chose what went where earlier. And that one is actually one of the more popular things that people call about, specifically when they get used copies of books. And they like to... A lot of our callers like to wonder about the person behind a copy that they've inherited and why they underlined what they underlined or wrote what they wrote. It's kind of fun.
Do you guys, okay, this is just me being curious. Do you write in your books?
I do.
I don't.
But you do use notations when you read electronically.
Yeah, I do. When I usually only read books, but when it's a really dense nonfiction, I'll do it digitally so I can guilt-free underline.
I used to not until I started going back to school. My very first class was a Shakespeare class, and he just kind of insisted that we underline and write all over the book. And I fought it and fought it and fought it. And then I was reading the introduction of the book, and they were just talking about, you know, where all you find Shakespeare. And this, oh gosh, I'm blanking on his name. Carlo Rovelli wrote a book. It's a small little book about physics. and I saw his name, and he had referred to Shakespeare in that book, and I saw his name, and I went, oh, I've talked to him, and I circled it and put an exclamation point, and that was just, that broke through for me. I'm a better interviewer if I can underline and write all over the book, except I can't do it in a hardcover. I can't bring myself to do it in a hardcover book, so.
I know, but you know, it's so funny because I'm with you. I have a really hard time doing it. But then when I think about it, when I get a used book and someone else has done it, it's like one of my favorite features of the book. So there's really no rationale to not do it if you're someone who loves it, like in my case. So I don't know.
Okay, so who are Terry and Barbara?
Oh, you're asking the sacred question that Terry and Barbara are our moms.
Oh, and they taught you to
Barbara's
love.
Barbara's my mom, and Terry Kent is Steph's mom. And, you know, they're inspirational forces in our lives. My mom,
and both great readers.
Yeah, and both great readers.
Very good. So do you have anything that you want to talk about that I have not asked yet?
I think one thing that we like everyone who hears about the Call Me Ishmael phone book to know is that it's not only a book that you can sort of browse and discover great reads. It's also a participatory book that invites you explicitly and implicitly to become a part of the story. So when you call Ishmael to hear one of the stories, if you stay on the line long enough, it invites you to leave a message of your own. And so whether that's 10 messages later or 20 messages later or 2 years later, we hope to be collecting and telling stories about books forever. And so we hope everyone will call Ishmael with a story of their own.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And then just the other thing that I would add, you know, throughout the project and throughout the process of publishing and selling a book, we've both just been really moved by the hard work and generosity of the people running independent bookstores. So especially now that the holidays are coming up, just a friendly reminder that buying a book from your local independent bookstore makes such a difference. And, you know, when you're thinking about where to do your holiday shopping, just a reminder that really money well spent if you're shopping at independent local bookstores.
I have one final question. Is there a fear that you'll run out of 4-digit extensions?
Yeah, I mean, so 9,999, I think, is our max. You know, that could be included in the short codes. Of course, we can publish more stories in a variety of ways, but you know, if it came to it, I bet we could figure out how to expand the library one way, shape, or form. But we're not there yet.
That was Stephanie Kent and Logan Smalley, creators of the Call Me Ishmael Project and authors of the Call Me Ishmael phone book, which was published by Avid Reader Press. Thanks for joining us for Marginalia. Discover more episodes at kmuw.org or wherever you get your podcasts. Marginalia is produced at KMUW Wichita. Our engineers are Mark Statzer and Torin Anderson. Our editor is Luann Stevens, and I am the producer. This is Marginalia, and for KMUW, I'm Beth Golay.